That was the 128th Psalm, which we just sang. And I'm going to have you turn to Psalm 127 and 128. And I'm going to read both Psalms as we begin our consideration of God's Word this morning. The Book of Psalms, Psalm 127 and then Psalm 128. It is always a great delight to hear the pages of God's Word being turned. I know some of you use electronic means for your Bible, and there's no issue with that. That's fine. I actually do a lot of my scripture reading on my phone from time to time, but I like to hear pages turn as well. There's something about that sound, I guess, which comes from childhood. Psalm 127, beginning in the first verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Let us bow again for prayer as we begin this morning. Gracious Father, now as we approach this holy book, this Word of God that was given to us by inspiration, that has been passed to us through the hands of the apostles and the people of God, has been preserved by thy Spirit, and today is profitable to thy people. Bless thy Word to us. Grant utterance to thy Spirit. Grant clarity to our understanding. May we this day rightly divide the word of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These two Psalms, 127 and 128, are a portion of what we call the Psalms of Degrees. They're called the Psalms of Degrees because these Psalms were sung as the children of Israel would journey to Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was set on high, and so they would be traveling from the plains up to Jerusalem for the time of worship. And they're called Psalms of Degrees because they traveled by degrees up and up and up. And these Psalms tend to build one upon another in their joyous praise, and they weren't just idle songs. I think most of us that have children at some time or another have sung in the car to occupy our kids, and I hope you sang psalms and hymns with your children some of the time, but there were silly songs we would sing with the kids as well, the old McDonald type psalms for their entertainment. These psalms were not sung for their entertainment as they traveled, but rather they were instructive. Rather, they were reminders. They were designed to prepare the hearts of the travelers for the worship that was to come. Turn with me to Psalm 120 and notice what Psalm 120 says in its beginning. Psalm 120, a song of degrees of David. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Look at Psalm 121. A song of degrees of David. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. 122. A song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. 123. A song of degrees of David. Unto thee will I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. 124. A song of degrees of David. If I had not been the Lord who was on our side. 126. A song of degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. 127. A song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house. Psalm 128. A song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Do you see a pattern there? Do you see a theme in the beginning of each of these songs of degrees? They all point to the Lord. He's either mentioned by name, the Lord, or he that dwelleth in the heavens is mentioned. It's all about the Lord. And so these songs of degrees are pointing us toward the Lord, toward the one that is to be worshipped. But then more specifically, by way of introduction, look at what we read there. In 120, a song of degrees of David, 22, song of degrees of David, 23, the same, 24, the same, 25, a song of degrees, 26, a song of degrees. But then 127 is a little bit different. Did you notice that difference as I read the titles? Psalm 127 is a song of degrees for Solomon. For Solomon. Now, why is that significant to us? Well, this is the psalm that begins, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. What do we know about Solomon? Well, David began to gather the materials for the temple. And David desired to build the house of God. He desired to build the temple. And God said to David, no, you've been a man of war. You've been a bloody man. Your son Solomon, he will build the house of the Lord. And so this is a song of degrees for Solomon. And these people were coming to the temple, not Solomon's temple, because that one had been destroyed. They were coming to another temple that had been built on the same foundation. The golden cherubims we talked about last week were gone. The bath of brass, the brass sea, those things were gone. This was a different temple. And yet as they're coming to the temple, they're singing these songs and they're reminded, David built a beautiful, glorious temple. Solomon built a beautiful, glorious temple. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Ah, all the beauty of that temple that Solomon built, that's gone. And remember the disciples when they were walking along the walls of the temple with Jesus and they're pointing out the glory of the temple and Jesus said, this is nothing. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And so there's deep meaning here, even just in the introduction, in the title of this psalm that can instruct us as to what is being taught here. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. And so, Christ declared in Matthew 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we've already made reference to the disciples pointing out the glories of this temple to which these folks were coming that were singing this song. And yet, and of course they came to Solomon's temple as well, but Solomon's temple by the time of Christ has been destroyed. Look at the glories of the temple. Christ says, no, destroy this body and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And of course in Hebrews we find Christ compared to Moses. Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant, but he that buildeth all things is God, and the builder of the house is greater than the house that is built. And Christ is the builder of the house. And so we are endeavoring here at Mission Bible Church to establish a place of worship. Some people may even say to build a church. And yet this first verse of Psalm 127 should set us back on our heels and knock every ounce of self out of us. For if we are building a church, it is by nature false. For if you look there again at verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain," verse 2, "it is vain." And that word vain, we need to pause there a minute. What does that word mean? Well, that word basically means empty, but it also means falsehood. It means falsehood. We're not to bear false witness against our brother. It's the same word, vain. It's falsehood. And you see, if we are building a church, the church we are building is by its very nature vain, because except the Lord build the house, it is vain. It is false. And so, this passage at the very outset, and I believe in its original context, when you consider that it was a psalm for Solomon, is speaking of the temple. It is speaking of the assembly for the place for worship. It is speaking of God's people as they assemble for worship. And if what we are doing here is what we are doing here, then what we are doing here is wrong. Does that make sense? But if what we are involved here is what the Lord is doing here, if the Lord is building this assembly, then it will stand. Then it will be based upon Christ. For Christ declared, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And what was the rock that Christ was speaking of? It was that testimony, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Mm-hmm. And so, as we approach this passage, first we find, "Except the Lord build the church, they labor in vain that build it." And Paul spoke of this in the New Testament. Paul said, "As a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, but let every man take heed how he build thereon. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Pray for Brother Vince and I. God has given us responsibility within this body of Christ. But if we're doing this, it needs to stop. Pray for one another, for we are bound together in this endeavor to establish a body of believers for worship. But if this is simply our endeavor, this needs to be our last Sunday. But oh, brethren, if the Lord is doing this as we believe He is, and as we have seen evident token of His hand, then it will prosper and it will endure. For except the Lord build the house, except the Lord build the church, they labor in vain that build it. Remember Paul's commentary on the ministry that he had? In 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 9, he said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are His husbandry. Ye are His building." We're laborers together with God. May we simply be His servants to do His work. And again in 1 Corinthians 3, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so first of all, as we look at this text, may we consider, except God build the church, they labor in vain that build it. But the second application I would bring to our hearts from this first verse is, except God build the life. Except God build the life, they labor in vain that build it. Men are so involved with building a life for themselves. And you'll hear people say, oh, I don't have any kind of life. And what they mean is they're working and doing all these things. And we hear constantly of people that take their own life. Except the Lord build the life. They labor in vain that build it. And I would point us to our text in the first verse of Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. What is important to you? What do you want out of this life? Oh, if I just had this car, I'd be happy. If I could get that job, everything would be good. Look at the houses I drive past. Aren't they beautiful? Oh, I've got to have this, and I've got to have that, and I've got to have the other. But what Scripture says here is, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You see, a prosperous life, I'm not talking about money, a prosperous life begins with the fear of the Lord. And then look at verse 4 of Psalm 128. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That sounds like a pretty good life, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a man that is blessed. And a man that enjoys his grandchildren on his knees. That's the blessed man. And so, we hear the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. What are you trying to do? It's a simple question. What you doing? You know, the world is full of busy people. And you walk into the store and there'll be a whole row of antacids. Because the world is so busy and so tied up in knots and so concerned with so many things, and I'm not saying it's a sin to take antacids, because I take them too, but we get so tied up in the things of this world. Except the Lord build the life, they labor in vain to build it. What is it that's going to make you happy? Tell you, nothing but the Lord.
That's right.
Nothing but the Lord. You will not get anything out of this life that will last, that will satisfy, that will fulfill. Except the Lord build the life, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the family. Except the Lord build the family, they labor in vain that build it. That word house is used frequently in Scripture to indicate family. The Philippian jailer was told he'd be saved and his house. That word house is a word that means family. Except the Lord build the family, they labor in vain that build it. Dear old Adam Clark, you've heard me mention his name before, an old Methodist commentator that I discovered when I was in college and have never gotten past him because he always just has some good kernels of wisdom. This comes from Adam Clark. He points out that the Hebrew root words for daughter, for son, and for house are all the same root word. In other words, daughter, son, and house are not the same word in the Hebrew, but it's the same root word. It's the same family of words. They all come from the same origin. Except the Lord build the house, the sons and the daughters. And build, the very word build, comes from the same root. Except the Lord put these things together, they labor in vain to build them. See, except the Lord build the family. Except the Lord build the family. It is in vain. And in Exodus 1, we find wicked Pharaoh commanding that all the Hebrew boys are to be thrown into the river. And the midwives were not abortionists. Neither were they infanticidists. They would not kill the baby boys. Mm-hmm. And because of their faithfulness in Exodus 1 and verse 21, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And that word houses is our word here, sons and daughters and build. It all has the same root. And it doesn't mean that God built them a great mansion with crystal chandeliers. He gave them families. He gave them sons and daughters. He built their house. Except the Lord build the house. And it's this same word. They labor in vain that build it. The Lord built the house of the midwives. And why did he build their house? Well, the verse tells us. Because the midwives feared God. Because the midwives feared God, he made them houses. You see, if you want to build a family, it begins by fearing God. If you want sons and daughters, it begins by fearing God. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. And so come back to our text now in Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Doesn't it all fit together? Isn't Scripture all one unit? Just as the Lord built houses for the midwives, so children are an heritage of the Lord. Verse 4, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Remember where we began with all this? With Christ's declaration, on this church, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As Brother Vince has pointed out several times to us, gates are not offensive weapons. Gates are for defense. The gates don't rush out and attack you. Rather, the gates stand so you cannot attack within. And when Christ declared that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, literally what he's saying is the gates of hell will not stand before the church. The church will break down through the gates of hell. And so Christ continues in that passage, that which you seal on earth is sealed in heaven, and that which you loose on earth is loosed. Mm-hmm. It's because the gates of hell are crumbling before the church, and the church is breaking through, plucking brands from the burning, as we read in the New Testament. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now take that little kernel from the New Testament and bring it back into verse 5. 127 verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, full of children. They, the children, shall not be ashamed, but they, the children, shall speak with the enemy in the gates. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The children of the righteous man spoken of here in this passage, they are speaking with the enemy in the gates. They are there at the gates of hell proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is a picture of the Christian family that generation after generation maintains that testimony. Generation after generation is a light in a dark world, and generation after generation is speaking to the enemy in the gates. They're pillars in the church of God. They're going forth as evangelists proclaiming the truth of God. And then chapter 128, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Thy wife is a fruitful vine, and thy children are like olive plants. And olive plants have always been a picture of blessing in Scripture. They are a blessing. They are a joy about the table. Thy wife is a fruitful vine. And then 127 verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb is the reward of God. And yet in our land today, it is legal to rip the fruit from the womb. It's his reward. Where do babies come from? Mythology says the stork. Biology says natural reproduction. Theology says they come from the Lord.
Amen.
Children are an heritage of the Lord. God closed the womb of Rachel and opened the womb of Leah. God opened Hannah's womb that she had Samuel. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nation. In Luke chapter 1, when Mary visits with her cousin Elizabeth, and the babe in Elizabeth's womb hears the voice of Mary, the babe John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy because Christ was in the womb of Mary. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Except the Lord build the family, they labor in vain that build it. And as I mentioned earlier, God saves the house. In Acts chapter 10 and 11, we find the story of Cornelius. And Cornelius sees a vision. And in the vision that Cornelius sees, he is told that he's to send to one Peter. And there Peter is described as one who shall tell thee words whereby thou shalt be let me read it correctly. It's Acts 11, 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Peter would tell Cornelius words whereby Cornelius and all his house would be saved. And again, we have the Philippian jailer who is told, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Except the Lord build the family, build the house. They labor in vain that build it. And so we find that except the Lord build the church, except the Lord build the life, except the Lord build the family. Fourth, except the Lord build the posterity, they labor in vain that build it. And yes, folks, when I first was working on this, I had prosperity there. We're not talking about the prosperity gospel. And it is true that any wealth we may accumulate comes from the Lord. But the point is, except the Lord build the posterity, they labor in vain that build it. Look at 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Doesn't say eat the labor of another's hands, does it? Doesn't say you're going to get your stimulus check and everything's going to go well here. No, it says, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. And it goes on to talk about thy wife, a fruitful vine, and so on. Look down at verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Proverbs 13 and verse 22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let me read that verse to you again. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Except the Lord build our posterity, our inheritance, we labor in vain that build it. The parable of the rich fool in Luke The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. His barns were full. He had plenty. He had so much he didn't have any place to put it. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to get one of those aluminum structures, you know, with the I-beams, you know, 150 by 50. It can be big, tall. Tear down my barns, build one of those. There I can steal all my goods. God said, thou fool. Dummy. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Except the Lord build the posterity. We have nothing to leave to our family. And then finally, except the Lord build the nation, they labor in vain that build it. Look at 127:1 again, our text this morning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It would not be more than a few hundred years after this that Israel would be without a city. Jerusalem would be overrun, be burned. They would be without a country. They would be expelled from their own land because of their sin. You see, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. F-16s and atomic bombs are not our defense. They might be majestic and powerful and everything else, but they are not the defense of the people of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. Look at verse 6 of 128. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The children of God do not need national stability for peace. I'll say that again. The children of God do not need national stability for peace. Amen. National stability is not the peace of the children of God. Right. Daniel was told, Daniel, stop praying. He opened his windows and knelt down three times a day as he'd done aforetime. Here's polluted meats that you can't eat. No, won't do it. Bow down to my image or I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. As Paul said, neither I count my life dear to me. You see, the children of God's peace does not rest on national stability. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. In 2 Samuel 23 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, there's a list of the mighty men of David that guarded his bed at night. And in Song of Solomon 3, verse 7, it speaks of Solomon's nightly guard. Song of Solomon 3, 7, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. That's 60 men, 60 strong men standing around Solomon's bed. Did that give him safety? Was that enough? I don't know. Yeah, maybe 62 would be better. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Right. Penny and I prayed that verse every night as we went to bed in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Because there was all kinds of houses being broken in, and some of you heard some of the stories about rocks and pieces of pipe and things coming through our bedroom windows, and the house was actually broken into twice while we were in the house. Mm-hmm. And families were held at gunpoint and knife point and different things. Never happened to us. Mm-hmm. Because the angel of the Lord camped around about us. Mm-hmm, that's right. But it did not matter what kind of bars you put on the window or what kind of alarm systems. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Solomon's 60 men around his bed didn't make him safe. And bombs and F-16s and M-16s and any other 16 you can think of won't make us safe. Except the Lord build the nation, they labor in vain that build it. And it says there in verse 2 of 127, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep." Mm-hmm. That kind of sounds like we're to be lazy if you take it the wrong way. But the commentators tend to think that this applies back to Nehemiah when they were building the walls and Sanballat and Tobiah were coming along and the laborers were working in shifts. Half of them had a sword and a shield and half of them had a trowel. And they were trying to watch at night, and maybe this verse may have been a reminder to them as well, "Except the Lord keep the city, you're staying up late isn't going to make you safe. Your safety's in the Lord. Your safety's in Him. It is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for He gives His beloved sleep. Come yourselves apart and rest a while." But I would like to make one more application. "Except the Lord build the nation, they labor in vain that build it." In 1 Peter chapter 2, we learn that we, the Gentile church, we are a royal priesthood, we are a chosen generation, and in that list, Peter says, we are a holy nation. We're the people of God. And that takes us right back to where we began, when we talked about if Christ isn't building the church, it's false. "Except the Lord build the house, the church, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the life, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the family, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the posterity, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the holy nation, the people of God, they labor in vain that build it." There's a lot of instruction here for our hearts. Mm-hmm. May we cast all of our care on Him, for He cares for us. May we look to God to build our church, to build our lives, to build our families, to build whatever we may leave behind, and to build His holy nation. Mm-hmm. Let us stand for prayer. Father, today we thank You for Your word and Your truth. We thank You that in Christ we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, and we are indeed a holy nation. Father, we thank You that You have called us out of the world by Your grace. You have made us Your own dear children. You have taken the wretches of the world and made them sons of God. And Lord, we thank You that it is all of Your mercy and all of Your grace and not at all of us. Bless Your word to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.